Right, I thank you for your willingness to sing another hymn, a beautiful hymn. And I'm thankful, again, I say it every night, lest I forget to tell you in person, that I have appreciated the accommodations, I have appreciated the love and the care that's been extended to me as a brother in Christ, as a preacher, an elder, and all those things, and just the respect that's been shown to my family. And I can't thank you enough for that. I do not feel worthy of the way we've been treated. And I told Brother Joe, so now he's putting the pressure on me, so when everyone comes back to Florida, and so now I gotta up it. So, but I have...
Can you repeat all that from the beginning? Sound like I needed to hear that.
You can go to Podbean or any multimedia... I know I've been railing pretty hard about standing up, denying yourself, giving of yourself to the Lord. And tonight's not going to be an easy message for you either. It's not an easy message for me. But I have wavered all day in the Word. And my heart is burdened for this church, for the mission. You say, how can that be? You've never met us. Because that's what the Lord does.
That's right.
So you bear with me as I get through this, because up to a few minutes ago, I've had a couple messages on my heart today. And I know the Lord does this at times to pastors, preachers, that you're unsettled, and sometimes He doesn't settle you until you're at this point. And I've often wondered that. Why is that? And then I think about how many times we read in the Lord's Word how He is in the midst. So tonight, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, I'd like to deal with a subject that seems to be overlooked by many. And as you're pondering, and as my family's thinking, wait a minute, I thought he was preaching on such and such, as they always want to know before we leave. This church has been blessed in a great way. Sometimes through blessings, something else can creep in. Pride. A little high-mindedness can creep in. Oh, it's always good to be able to declare and prove things. It's a great feeling, but it's also a dangerous place to be. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of restoration, forgiveness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We're going to go to a couple more passages here, and I want to explain the severity of this message, and I hope it impacts you the way it impacted me when I was 13 years old. I mentioned the other night we were losing and have lost many giants that walked this land here in America preaching the Word of God. My grandfather was one of those giants. All 5'7", 7.5", maybe 8 of him. Holding forth the Word of life. So I'll tell you on the onset of where we're fixing to go here, this is nothing that I've come up with. I'm not that clever. I'm not the preacher he was. but this is God's word.
Amen.
So I pray it can help you. Now, if you will take with that, as we just read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you'll take with that and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'd like to read verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now go to chapter 12 and verse 26 of 1 Corinthians. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you will, for the last one, if you'll go to Romans chapter 11. And after this, we'll go back to our text in Galatians chapter 6. Romans 11 and verse 20. And it's really the last part of this verse that we're going to key in on. The verse says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. There's that standing again. Be not high-minded, but fear. You remember I mentioned this the other night when I was over in Romans 12. It was by God's mercy that we are grafted in, Gentiles.
Amen.
It was by God's compassion. It was by God's grace.
Amen.
So if you'll go back to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll stay there for a while. Like I said, I did not come up with this, but it's something that has stayed within the minds of many since 1986. But I'd like to talk to you tonight about the wheel of providence. The wheel of providence. The mystery of that wheel. The marvel of that wheel. Every one of us in here tonight, sitting in these pews, standing in the pulpit, can be seen in this very first verse of the sixth chapter. We tend to classify it as there's only two classes there, as we notice the words. It says, one, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, so we see a spiritual class. And then it says to resort such an one in the spirit of meekness. And oftentimes we'd say, that, well, there's the spiritual, and they must have been in the carnal mind because they had fallen. But I hope by the end of this, we see there's a couple more classes we really need to pay attention to. You know, as we could read in the book of Ezekiel, which I thought we'd be in tonight, but that's not the case. You read about wheels there. As that prophet looked and saw.
Amen.
And one of those wheels was the providence of God.
Amen.
But tonight, we're going to look at the providence of brethren, believers. You think of where the word of God tells us, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Tonight, I really want us to get a hold of this. Because I said on the onset early, there's big things ahead for this church. I really believe that this church will grow. I was telling Brother David outside just tonight, I said, this church has been through some pains. Your pastor and his family has been through some pains. But I really feel with all my heart, I can't tell you, and I told you the other night, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I'm not declaring these things, but I tell you, there's just something burning within me that I feel there's good things coming to Grace Missionary Baptist Church. I wish I could just turn and touch it and point it to you, but I cannot. But the things that's been revealed in the past few months and then this week, I see where the church is headed. I pray that you be ready for it. There'll be some new pains. There'll be some growing pains. There's going to be some adjustments that have to be made along the way. And I pray you can do it with grace. I was working on this board because if I thought this was what I was going to preach hours ago, I'd have came up hours ago and prepared it. So I'm sorry for the delay. But what I'd like you to see here as we look at this, we did the best we could to draw a wheel. On the very top of the wheel is compassion. On the very bottom of the wheel is the word cry. On the right side of the wheel is comfort. On the left side of the wheel is courage. And there's some arrows there pointing as the wheel would turn. I pray we can really zero in on this tonight. I pray we can really get a hold of this tonight because there's some words of interest here. The word restore, the word meekness, the word considering, the word tempted. And oh, how it scares me to think how prideful we can become when we're on top of that wheel. On top of the mountains. But as you've heard many times before, be careful when you're on top of that mountain. Because there's only another direction you can go. And I would bear you witness tonight that you are somewhere here tonight. You're on one part of this wheel, somewhere in here. But see, we as people, we would like to take that wheel and make it where it cannot turn, and we just stay up there. Or maybe turn it this way, that way it cannot spin. And we stay in our place on top. But the fact is, with the number, this assembly tonight, you're somewhere. There's people in here tonight that's not all the way up on top. There's people in here tonight that might be right there with the word cry, crying out for help. Crying out for grace, mercy.
Amen.
We'll get through this, and I think it'll really show us where we need to be. Many of you don't know, and praise the Lord for that if you don't, but we're in times when brothers in Christ cannot and will not get along. We're in times when you're either being attacked or you're found guilty of attacking. These things should not be. They ought not be. This is not unity of the faith. This is not standing strong and firm for the Lord. This is standing and playing in a devil's pen, is what that is. Your pastor encouraged me. I would get so down and out. I'd look to Facebook. And I'm not here to preach against media tonight. There's a use for it. But I'm going to tell you something. What I'm seeing, there's more use for it for bad than there is good. And we must be careful with it. Here in this verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. The word overtaken there in fault, some have said, depends on who you look to, commentaries, ideas, and preachers, we're all different. But the fact is, well, that's talking about a sin that they sort of slipped into. It was an accidental thing, and it wasn't deliberate. My father retired from law enforcement, and he said, ignorance is not a defense of the law. And that's how he approached the criminals he spoke to. They say, oh, I didn't know. He'd say, well, the law doesn't care. And he'd investigate. I didn't know. It's not a defense. But even in that, if we accept that I don't know, isn't it grace that must be shown? We are in times when grace, we love to sing it, Amazing Grace. I even wrote grace up there, the name of this church, Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Why is there no more grace being shown? We're going to be in times, you're going to be in times when there's an opportunity to either be high-minded or show grace. I pray that this will be a help to you. Somewhere in this wheel, you're either going to be ascending or descending. You're either going to be rising up or lowering down. But notice the scripture and how it's worded here. Look in verse 1. It says, which are spiritual, restore such an one. That's no accident. A church made up of members. One body. Many members. And it says, restore such an one. You know what that means? Just what I was telling you earlier. That sometimes you're going to be on top while a brother's down. It is not our job to stand and say, well, you know, if he can do it like me. Be careful with that. The pendulum swings. And you only got to move a degree off and you're not on top. You can be on the bottom quickly.
That's right.
But the idea of this verse is that we might show compassion. It says there, ye that are spiritual. We sang about it all night tonight. We praise the Lord for His forgiveness, His grace. I was speaking with some men tonight. I do not deserve to be able to stand in the pulpit and preach the word. I don't know why He would choose me to do such a thing. But He did choose, just as He chose me when He saved me. It's for God's purpose. The wheel of providence. There must be a compassion. There must be a display of compassion. I think about the one that's looking up, crying out for help. I will tell you tonight that a true cry for help means a godly sorrow. It means that you actually are repentant of your sin. That you're sorry whether anyone believes you or not. That you have been on your knees, pray to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Repentant. Repentant. But how is it that those that are even repentant and are crying out for help, how is it they can find no help? And then when we gather and sing Amazing Grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved one on top, like me. Is that what it says? It says a wretch like me.
That's right.
Oh, we must be careful. I'm not saying we change what we stand for as Baptists. I'm not saying we change what we stand for with the doctrines that we find within the lids of Holy Scripture. I'm not saying that we change anything of God's Word. But we do know that God's Word shows us that we should have some love within us. And it seems we're in 2024, where we're at is where we're so quick to jump into a debate or a fight to condemn another rather than doing just what this verse says. Didn't it feel good? There's a hymn. Reach down, way down. And picked you up. That's where you were. You were in darkness. You were dwelling in darkness, and the Lord reached way down. Way down to him. And if I was a great singer, I'd sing it for you. Oh, it's by grace that you were brought to the top of the wheel. But sometimes it's by your failure and responsibility that you fall down to the bottom of the wheel. Sometimes we get high-minded and decide, well, that's it for him. It's over for him. Is it ever over for a child of God? If he's repentant in his heart and he wants to get on the right track, I thank the Lord that he's not a mercy of one time.
Amen.
He's forgiven me many times. Not that I deserve it. Because if it was left to me, I'd have snuffed me out a long time ago. The closer you get to the Lord, the more dirty you see yourself. But there's some, and I've been guilty of it, there's some that when things are right and it seems like the Lord's really blessing and using you, all of a sudden you seem to feel like maybe you're looking from the throne. And all others, they just can't match up. We have to be careful of that, brethren. This is not our job. Our job is to hold forth the word of life. Our job is to hold forth the very doctrines that we find within Scripture and to teach them to people. I mentioned it earlier one night. I can't remember which one it was. What are you going to do when people come in the door and they're not dressed like you? They do not look like you. Brother Sittersnard, he already knows where my heart and mind is. Send me them people that's all tatted up. Send them to me. Send them.
Amen.
Send the ones that's got all the shrapnel in their face. Send them to me.
Amen.
Send me the ones that's not worthy of entering in your door or climbing your steps. Send them to me.
That's right.
Because they need the love of Christ. And how are they going to get the love of Christ if we can't show it?
Amen.
The wheel of providence. Be careful. Be careful trying to balance yourself up here. See, the idea is that while you're on top and this brother's down and needs a hand up, that you would put a hand down. And I don't want to confuse you, but just know that in your time of help, what does that mean? If you're right dead in the center, but you got to give a hand down, you got to go one way or another. We're all somewhere cycling around this wheel all the time, day in, day out.
That's right.
We all need comfort. Because when you put the hand of help down to help the one that's crying out, you're putting a hand of comfort to him. And when he's on his way up, you're giving him the hand of courage and you're helping him. And guess what? Now it's his turn on top. What's that mean for you? It means you may be the one crying out. And how would you like it if he says, can't, gotta stay here on top? Oh, we must be careful with our attitude. The Lord has done plenty for us. He has helped us more than we ever deserve to be helped.
Amen.
He reached down for us. I still marvel at it in John 6. I still marvel at that word, and I've mentioned it all the time, and maybe people get tired of me mentioning it. But the fact there that unless the Father draw him, then in the Greek it means to literally drag. To drag. And I'm going to tell you, unless you figured out something that I haven't, the only way you're going to drag somebody is to put your hand out. Oh, thank the Lord for his mercy. Aren't we supposed to be the ones this extending mercy? But there must be a willingness within that word compassion. The interesting thing, when you find the word compassion in the Bible, you'll always find mercy around it. Did you know that? Mercy's always around it. In fact, the womb, when you get to studying the Hebrew and the definitions, the womb is found to be the place of tender
mercies. The same place they're sticking wicked devices and destroying life, that is the place that God declares the place of tender mercies.
We have a wonderful and loving God and a compassionate God and a merciful God. I was studying today for another message that may come Sunday. Manifold mercies. How is it we can only do it once or twice? Oh, we must be a people of the Lord. I've been downhearted by the way I've seen preachers act in the past couple years. I'm downhearted by the way I've seen preachers act this week. It must be nice to never make mistakes. You know, I wonder, and I'm not going to put your pastor on the spot because I think the world of him. I don't think he ever makes mistakes. But I wonder if there's any preachers roaming this country that's ever preached a message and went, I was wrong in that. Can you imagine? How long would you be a pastor if every message you ever preached, you never made a mistake when it comes to delivering the message? You want to talk about long-suffering? Oh, the Lord is long-suffering. But it seems there's some preachers that never has made any mistakes. It seems there's some that just has the preeminence. Doesn't matter what they do. And everyone bows down. Well, you meet one tonight that does not. I bow to the Lord. And I ask Him to straighten me out. We need to have the attitude that if a brother in Christ is repentant and he is sorry or she is sorry, a sister in Christ, whatever the case may be, we need to be spiritual. We cannot try to stand up on the top of the wheel. Well, as we move forward, I want to look at more of this. We got to be careful when we're having compassion not to forget why we're putting the hand of compassion down. Here's what I mean by this. I hear a lot of preaching that goes on, and I preach hard. Tonight's probably one of my softer nights. I preach hard, and I preach hard because I'm very compassionate with God's Word. I'm very devoted to what I know the Bible teaches, but what I'm seeing around in other churches and other places and in the world at large, and I want people to know. And I get wound up because I want you to know the truth. I want you to know what the true church is and what it is not. I want you to know what it means to walk and to walk in the path that's pleasing to God and what it is not. I want you to know these things, not because I'm better than you, but because I love you in the Lord. We have to be careful. And here's where I'm talking about. Notice it's in the spirit of meekness. You know, it's hard to carry out your hatred and madness and opinionated, high-minded state when you're supposed to be in a state of meekness.
True.
Have you ever tried to pray to the Lord and be sincerely in prayer and then call out that rascal that you're upset with? Can you do it? I'm talking about if you're truly in prayer to the Lord, can you be on your knees and saying, Lord, I'm going to tell you something else. Just go ahead and snuff him out. Now, I'm talking about a brother in Christ. You say, well, the Psalms, you know, well, I know. I'm talking about a brother that has fallen. Maybe he's hurt you. Maybe she's hurt you. We have to be careful with the things that we do. We must be in the spirit of meekness. If one is repentant, we must be willing. And why? We get to the next word, considering thyself. I wrote the definitions down. I want to read them to you. See, the word restore, in the Greek definition of it, it means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust. The word meekness means gentleness. It means humility. The word considering, to take aim, to spy, to regard. It's translated, take heed. Then the word tempted, to test, endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline. It's translated, assay, examine. We must stay in this spirit of meekness. We must be careful considering ourselves. Why would we do that? Why would we need to consider ourselves? Because, my friend, you're walking on a razor's edge of being on the bottom of that wheel.
Right.
You know, I remember the old saying, Granddaddy said it too, that there's an old saying about every spoke gets its turn to the top. You know? Every spoke gets its turn to the top. Wheel of Providence. Every spoke gets its turn to the top. But also in that, you notice every spoke got its turn at the bottom. That's us, brethren. We're not above anyone. We have the truth. We have the glorious truth of God. We have the Word of God. We're in a right New Testament church, the Lord's church. He only made one form. There's not several kinds. There's only one. Ephesians 4, one Father. There's one, the unity of the faith, one baptism. One Lord. How come we can understand all that as 1-1-1? But then when it comes out, we believe this. How come it's always Baptists that have to change? I don't have to change anything. But I don't have to attack. I think we're in a passage tonight that many brethren have forgotten. Possibly you have. I've had to consider myself in the study of this. We must, in our zeal and in our compassion for truth, we must be meek. We must remember some are sinking, some are coming up, some are going down. Where are you? Well, as I get ready to close here tonight, I'm blessing you with a shorter night tonight. We've went about 53 to 55 minutes. Every night, I say I'm blessing you. I can't give you blessings. I pray for you blessings. But I really want us to let this sink in. You know, the world always talks about God is love. That's all they know. And it's usually people like us that they want to throw it up to when we try to say, well, you know, the Word of God says you shouldn't do that. Well, God is love. That's all they know. They don't know God is judgment. God is judgment.
Amen.
He's watching us as well. The Lord's in the midst tonight. I believe it. Why do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Angels are in the assembly. Why do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Think about this now with me. Can the weak never be helped? Is there any one of us, and I know the answer, but I'm just doing this to stimulate the mind a little bit. Has there any one of us that has not sinned since we've been saved? That's why I praise the Lord for 1 John 1:9. So if we know that and we believe that, then how is it that we can't act like that? I've been there, brother. Now that you're repentant, now that you're where you need to be with the Lord, now that you're repentant, I'd like to help you. We need to have that attitude. The last thing I want to consider here, I'm not getting into verse 2. I'm going to close with something else here. We're going to go to the book of Matthew and Mark. I want to just mention some verses here. But before we leave, I'm not preaching it like I said, but look at verse 2 in Galatians chapter 6. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You get to searching that out. In fact, let's just go to John 13, verse 34 for just a moment, and then we'll go to Matthew 5. John 13, verse 34. Again, you know, and I don't mean to be flippant, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but, you know, some people would have to knock the dust off of this part. Verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That's a new verse to many people. I believe tonight I could be standing here in the pulpit and be very truthful about it. I believe that'd be a new verse to a lot of preachers. You were redeemed with love. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his life. Leviticus 17:11, he gave his life. Life is in the blood. We're to love one another. Matthew chapter 5. Let's start at verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" I wish there's preachers that would understand this verse. "Do not even the publicans the same?" There's your classification. "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect." That's mature. That's maturing in the faith. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Amen. Go to Matthew 22. Verse 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second..." See, I got that underlined in my Bible. "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. I went ahead and finished that out because he was the one that was speaking. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you walk out of here arguing with this, you're arguing with the wrong one. When the Lord has spoken, we ought to just soak it in and quit arguing. We must have the attitude of love to fallen brethren. Listen, we read about enemies. And as strange as it is, that within the brethren, within the family of God, that we could be so mad at one another to want to devour one another. If I'm to love my enemy, shouldn't I love that brother that just wants to devour me? Because one day, they may be down there on the bottom. Will you put a hand down? Will you pick a brother up? You say, well, they didn't reach down for me. Doesn't matter what they did. I'm speaking to you. The word speaks to you. We must be willing. I was going to read more, but I'm going to stop with James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I'm getting there. Verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. We must be ready to forgive and move forward. There's a lot of words there tonight. It's been in the past few nights. Stand, standing, fulfill. See, it's a long journey to fulfill all that Christ would have us do. But here's what I'm saying, folks. The Lord's hand is upon this church. The Lord's hand's upon this church, and there's going to come a time you're going to have to be willing to reach down. You're going to have to be willing to forgive. You're going to have to be willing to give comfort. You're going to have to be willing to give courage. You're going to have to be willing to reach down, because it's a cycle and it's going to continue. And that's why our Lord put it in there. He knew what He was doing.
That's right.
When one rejoices, when one's honored, what do? We rejoice. When one cries, when one's hurting, cause us some pain. How in the world we can get proud when one's hurting? It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. So I pray tonight that this has been a help to you. May we consider ourselves as things are fixing to move. The Lord's moving upon this church. Let us not become prideful and high-minded. Let us remember about this lesson of restoration. We got to be willing. None of us are above falling down.
Amen.
None of us.
Amen.
And we got to be willing to lift a brother up. But I will tell you, I'm guarded in this too. I say I'm guarded. I just want to make sure I'm clear. I'm talking about a repentant brother. I didn't take you there. We could have went to 2 Corinthians 7. There's a difference in godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. Worldly sorrow leadeth to death. Two different types of sorrows. So I pray that we would remember as we step forward in this journey. It's just amazing to step back. I get to come in for a little while. I've known y'all, but I've never met you.
That's right.
Brother Joe has talked well of each and every one of you. And I try to picture it in my mind. I try to paint the picture at home, what it must be like, what it, you know. And I've told people, long before I came here, I've told people, I said, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the church and Brother Sitters and everything. I said, because it reminds me of the church I pastor. People are happy and joyous and just want to serve the Lord. And that's what we must do, serve the Lord. So that's the message for tonight, and I pray it's been a help to you. I know the message is coming. We'll get back on that charge. But I sort of want to stop along the way and just remind you it's always good to be willing to help a brother. And I'm thankful. Your pastor's helped me. And he would repeat that I've helped him. But just don't forget, you're somewhere on the wheel. So I thank the Lord for you. And Brother Joe, if you'll come.